So those little evangelists, those little missionaries, those little mighty men of God. Bless those little ones that will grow up to know who they are in Jesus. Amen. How many have that prayer for your kids, your grandkids? That they will grow up and they will walk in faith and trust in God. Amen. I'm excited about my sermon today. So I hope you will be too. Again, we are in the Lord's Prayer. And the title is, Help Me, I'm Tempted. And how many remembers the Lord's Prayer? How about we say it together? Let's do it the King James Version, because we're all on the same page. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many believe there's a battle outside of you, but there's also a battle within you? And sometimes that battle within you can lead you down in the wrong path through temptation. And therefore, our Lord says, pray that you will overcome those temptations. Now, in James chapter 1, this is what it says. When tempted, let's read it together. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. So who can I blame for my temptations? In that case, it's me. Right? I'm dragged away. And what happened? They are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Where does those temptations start? Starts here. And then I begin to dwell on it and desire it. And before I do it, I act it out. In Genesis chapter 4, there's a story of Cain and Abel. How many has heard of Cain and Abel? Adam's two sons. And God warns Cain. And this is what it says. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. He's saying there is something crouching at your door. There's like a wolf laying at your door. It's ready to bite you. You must master it. Because if you don't, what happens? It leads to death. Not physical death, but it leads to spiritual death. You must master it. How many knows that God warns us? He doesn't want us to go down that path. He didn't want Cain to destroy his brother. He wanted to warn Cain, Cain, don't do it. This anger that is building inside of you is just going to destroy you. How does God warn you? How does God warn me? He warns me in his word. He shows me my heart. You see, this word is supernatural. It reveals my heart. It's dividing soul and spirit. It is showing me who I am and where I need to go. How many know that it exposes your heart? And when there is sin crouching, God is faithful to warn you. Because he is a loving father. He doesn't want to go down that place. Now, he killed his brother. What happened to him? He got... what? He got branded, in a sense, as an outcast. Wandered, the Bible says he wandered the earth. My friends, those who don't master the sin, they will wander the earth as orphans. And that's the bad news. They won't feel accepted or belongs anywhere. The good news, of course, is that Jesus Christ came to rescue the wanderers of the earth. How many knows that sin leads you down in all kinds of places, and when you devour these things that the world offers, it shows up to be nothing. And no matter where you go, it can't satisfy. But Jesus came to rescue people like Cain. But he also came to rescue you and I, because you and I are born into sin. And therefore, we're not exempt from being needing of being delivered and healed and set free. How many things? Amen to that. So I'm thinking, it happens once in a while, I'm thinking, you know, in James it says that God does not tempt. And yet in the Lord's Prayer it says, Lord, do not lead me into temptation. What God does, he can't tempt you because he's not a sinner. But he allows trials to take place so that you may be an overcomer. How many has been in trials? And in trials, there was all kinds of temptations. And I was thinking, you know, how Jesus in Luke 4 was led by the Spirit. Was led by the Spirit into the desert. It wasn't somebody else who led him. It was the Holy Spirit who led him. And when he was in the desert, what came along? Satan. And what did he say? He said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. He was tempting Jesus with good things. There's nothing wrong with bread. But Jesus responded and says, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from his mouth, God's mouth. Why did he do that? Why not? Didn't he turn them into bread? Because that was being a bit of disobedience to God. How many knows the enemy wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to get you? I'm going to ask my son Paul to come. Where is Paul? Come up here if you don't mind. Mom, Grandma might have to help you. See, I want to give you an illustration of how this works. You see, I don't have a license to this thing here, and I don't really know how to operate it. So I need Paul. I need you to do it with both hands, somehow. Nana, Grandma's there. Can I get, Bud, do you want to come up here and give me a hand? No, there's a little hook there. When you go fishing, as I understand, you put a worm on it, is that right? So I went to the toy store, and Bob gave me some worms. That'll do. Nice, nice worm. It's a tasty worm. It's a very, very good. Now, can you throw it out there, Paul? No, don't. It's good. So, you don't have to. Be careful, though. And what I don't know what if you fishermen what you, if you sing or what you do, but you might say, fishy, fishy, come here. This is tasty, it's tasty, and it's tasty. And what happened when the What happened when you bite, when the fish bites? You got it, right? And you reel it in. How many knows that Satan is a con? He's a con artist. He knows how to make things look good that is not so good. And you know what? If one thing doesn't work, do you mind helping me, the bud? If one thing, no, just go ahead. I'm going to take this one. If one thing doesn't work, he will try another thing. So he might not try this candy, but he might try, how about a $1 million bill? Oh, you didn't think I had one like that, did you? How about a $1 million bill? You know what the Bible says? What a good is it if a man will gain the whole world but lose his soul? How many has done things you wish you had never done because you bit into something and you were completely deceived? It promised something that it could not deliver. One person put up their hands. I'm going to preach to that one person. Okay. And here is, I'm going to put it on the sign here, but do you know how many has ever gone to McDonald's? And they sell, or they used to, I've been there for a long time, but they used to sell something called Happy Meal. Do they still sell Happy Meals? You know, and there's a little kid, right? And the kid said, Mommy, Mommy, I want a Happy Meal. I want a Happy Meal. If you give me this great Mac, no, Happy Meal, then I'll be happy for the rest of the week. And finally, you get tired of the nagging, so you give him the Happy Meal. How many knows that within an hour, it's gone? So it's advertised something that's not true. Now here comes maybe the greatest of temptations. And I don't know if you can read my writing, but it says, you hurt me. I don't like you. I want to hurt you back. You deserve it. Oh, what do you mean? Hence, how do you mean that's a temptation? How many knows this is a temptation of Satan? How many knows this is probably one of the greatest temptations of Satan? Because if you catch the hook, guess what happens to your heart? How many says what? The eyes is a gateway to your heart. And when there is light in your eyes, there's light in your body. But when there's darkness, your body is dark. And when you begin to see a person like your enemy, there's darkness comes in. And Satan knows he got you. Do you know what he's called? How many knows what Satan is called? He's called a liar and accuser in Revelation 12 of the brethren. Who is your brother? Who is your brother? Everyone who's next to you, everyone who comes across, that's who they are. In my pastor experience, a lot of people go down the wrong path, but it starts here. It starts there. But the good news is that through Jesus Christ, he has forgiven us. How many has been forgiven? And he says, out of that abundance of that forgiveness, you now can forgive those who hurt you. He says, love your enemies. He didn't say just like them. He says, love your enemies. Wow. Do not return evil for evil, but return evil with good. That's right. Hallelujah. Thanks, guys. How about give these guys a nice clap? So I want to show you some examples. And I actually did it at the Healing Lodge. I asked the Healing Lodge ladies to write down any temptations they were struggling with. But I realized I couldn't show those because that would be not right. So I borrowed some that I found on the internet of a pastor who did that in a large church. And he asked 16 people, What are your temptations for this year? And here are some of them. We can find it there. How many has read 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Anybody have read 1 Corinthians chapter 10? What does it say? God will not allow, not tempt you more than you can bear. Amen? And he always will find your way out. How many believes that? God will always find your way out. You may be tempted, but God will say, there is a way out. Here's one. My biggest temptation of this year was to have a drink of alcohol because I quit 2 years ago. I didn't do it because of the love I have for my wife and children, okay? This person, they were asked, show me the temptations that you had and how did you overcome it? And this person stopped doing it because they loved their children. How many knows that? That's a good motivation. Let's just do one more, a couple more. My biggest temptation of this year, being negative and critical of myself, my family, and anyone around me. What did I do about it? I read and prayed Isaiah 53. Reminded myself that God is the creator. He's personal, present, loving, strong, and forgiving. Also, I pray each day that God help me to see others the way he sees them. What does this say? How many have been critical of yourself? How many have been critical of others? How many knows that often when you're critical of yourself, you frequently are critical of others? Isaiah 43, this is what it says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by the name. You are mine. How many think that's a good antidote for those who criticize yourself? He created who? And whose are you? You are his children. He has redeemed you. He wants to be with you. He loves you. Amen. Let's do one more. My greatest temptation of this year was to be dishonest in order to achieve my goals. When I finally realized that being truthful was more important, I started to change. This is a teenager. How many have ever had struggle with being dishonest? You know, elaborate the truth a bit. And realize that was not the benefit, not very good. How many knows that all these temptations is something we can all struggle with? It's not just an elite few. Let's go to the next one. My regular temptation is to believe they have nothing to offer or nothing of substance to offer to others. And if I try to offer something, it will be substandard. Therefore, it's best to be withdrawn or hide. How many have ever felt they want to hide? Because you don't feel good enough. But this is what she does, or he does. I'm not sure if it's a he or she. Let's just go to the next part. What I do with that is feel it. Then I turn to God in Christ and thank him that what he has offered is perfect. I ask for God to help me in my weaknesses, to depend on the Holy Spirit, to show himself strong in my weakness. Then I get up from prayer and just begin to work and relate in whatever day the day brings. And I work to be as prepared as I can be to offer something to others regardless of how I feel. This is actually written by a pastor. How many have struggles with feeling you're not good enough? But God has an answer to it. Amen. Let's do one more. Do you want to read it, Jen?
My biggest temptation for this year would be looking down on others and thinking more highly of myself, thinking that I'm worth more than other people who have less abilities or capabilities than me. I must remind myself that everyone is created in the image of God. I also have to remind myself that I still struggle in many different ways, and ultimately we are still worth the same to God.
This is also a teenager. How many has ever struggled with looking down on other people? How many would never admit to it, but the truth is. And it says here, you know, you realize that I shared that before, but there's a tendency in the human flesh to put people in boxes, them and me, or them and us. And as long as there's them out there, I can be justified in criticizing them and putting them down. But Jesus never allowed that to take place. He came into this earth to tear down the barriers. There is never such a thing as them and us. It's us and Jesus. How many knows that we have no right to be proud? Because everything that's done for us was done by Jesus. It's not my works. Amen. Thanks, Janet. That was a good reading. I'll read for another one. Let's do one more.
Many times I've been tempted to give people too much power to define who I am. In those moments, I'm tempted to fear man more than God. When I fear people and what they might think of me, I forget God and become needy, insecure, and demanding.
Wow. When do you give other people power to tell you who you are? When does that happen? Lots of times when you're criticized or looked down upon, you feel unworthy and you begin to feel insecure because you believe what they say. How many has been driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you're just mad? Do you know why you're mad? Because you think that guy thinks you're not valuable and you're unworthy and you're nobody, and therefore he can cut you off and do whatever he wants because he owns the road. But why do you believe that? Because that's not true. That's not true. What is true is that you're a son or daughter of God. And he loves you no matter how many people cut you off. Amen? Let's do one more. There's 16, but I'm not going to do 16. I'm going to do maybe a couple more and then we're done. In those moments, I must remember that all my needs are met in Christ. What God thinks of me is what matters. When I believe that all my needs are met in Christ and that I'm in His Son, I'm able to turn to people with gentle strength, and I'm able to say and do what is best for them instead of what is best for me. How many think that's a good answer? Let's do one more.
I was tempted to belittle my brother for the financial mess he's in because of bad decision making. I wanted to be a rescuer so I could hold authority over him and stoke my ego. But after thinking and praying for him, I realized that the hurt I would have shown towards him was sinful, so I didn't become angry or demeaning.
There's the brother messed up big time. And the other brother wants to look down on his brother and tell him what for. But he realized that it's not the right way of dealing with his brother. How many has ever wanted to put down some of your relatives because they messed up? Okay, let's do one more.
My temptation this year was to be perfect. If I feel like I've failed majorly, then I feel insignificant and I feel invisible. This leads to stress to try to be perfect and fear that I will fail. I remind myself that God's power is perfect in my weakness and that He is my perfect solution.
Amen. Let's do one more time.
When people I love, especially my family, ask for help and are hurting deeply, I'm tempted to care too much, often more than they do. Help too much, at times worry, and at times try to fix their problems. I plan to overcome this by continuing to be still before the Lord and listen, allowing loved ones and others to experience the full consequences of their choices and showing mercy and grace as the Lord leads. And continuing to set healthy boundaries.
How many can identify with that? She says, I stand back and be still. I allow them to experience the consequences. That's a good lesson for some of us, parents and grandparents. Okay, we've got to do one more.
Right now I'm struggling with the stage of life I find myself in. I want to follow the culture and step away from responsibility and rest. As our culture puts it, retire. I struggle with entitlement. I think I deserve a break. Often I find myself dreaming of a life of sandy beaches, no worries, and all the time I want for myself and my wife. To fight this, I turn to the Word of God, and I'm reminded that I need to finish this life well so that I can hear from God, well done, my good and faithful servant, and that I'm bought with a price and my life is not my own.
It can be tempting to see I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too worn out, I deserve to stay at the beach. But what is God after in your life? He's after you to finish well, to say and hear the voice of God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. So I want to say this too, because it's not fair. We did this at the Healing Lodge as well. I thought it's not fair that I have other people's struggles pasted on the wall without sharing my own. And I was praying, God, what are my greatest temptations? Probably one of the greatest temptations that I have struggled with in the past as a pastor is feeling that I'm inadequate. I cannot measure up. How many has ever felt that? Feeling that I'm not successful. Somehow in my mind, in my own standard, I'm not doing what I need to do. And how many know that the enemy can play tough with that? And it's something I had to face. And how do I face it? I face it like Jesus did. It is written. When I'm weak, then he was strong. Then I'm strong in him. Amen? I can do all things through Christ. Who does what? Who strengthens you. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And it's not about an outward measure. It's not about my standard. It's really all about him. It's his church. It's his ministry. I'm just a foot soldier. And all I have to do is be led by the Spirit. How do you overcome the flesh? It says in Galatians 5, you overcome the flesh by being led by the Spirit. Because you see, in the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, patience, brotherly kindness, gentleness. I don't know if I got them all in the right order. How many has heard that before? So how do I know when I'm led in the Spirit, in the flesh? I know it because I have no peace. I know it because I have no love. I know it because I have no joy. I know it because I am not gentle. This is a gauge on your emotional dash. I can tell you, I'm living out of the flesh. When I'm worried and concerned about not measuring up, my friends, I'm living out of the flesh. I got to get back into the Spirit. How do I get back into the Spirit? Let God tell me the truth. That's how I get back in. I go first and say, Lord, I repent of believing a lie. And now, God, I turn back. Talk to me, God. What is the truth? Who am I? Amen? Thus then. Can I have the worship team, please? Father, there's many good-looking, good-tasting, very attractive worms. And they exist everywhere. But they do not satisfy. They do not quench the thirst. They do not bring about change. They do not bring eternal peace. They do not bring freedom. In fact, they bring bondage. And God, I pray that as a church, you will alert us in our hearts to the sin that crouches around us, to the temptations that is there, that is leading us down that wrong path. Like you warned Cain, show us, God, the things that we attempted with. Even as Christians, even as people who may have been Christians for 30 or 40 years, show us the temptations we struggle with. That we may repent and turn away from the fleshly desires and turn to you. Father, bless everyone here. You gave us a way out. You gave us tools. As Jesus did, so can we. We can also declare, it's written. We can also come against the temptations by repenting and declaring the truth over us. Father, sometimes the greatest temptation is that an offense. Is that of giving ourselves permission to hate somebody and demean them and tear them down. Father, I pray you help us as a church, Lord, to face that and ask for forgiveness and recognize what you have done for us and release those people, God. Release them. That our hearts will be full of light. The hearts will be full of forgiveness. Will be full of your amazing love that empowers us to forgive even the worst of our enemies. Thank you, Jesus.